This is Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Welcome back to another hot summer week with us at Radio MD. Later in this episode, we hear about how COVID-19 has impacted the ongoing opioid epidemic in the United States. But first, this news. A new study from the University of Minnesota explains how the coronavirus hitches a ride on droplets released when you cough, sneeze, talk, or speak, and travels around a room. Researchers found that good ventilation can filter out some of the virus, but can leave it on other surfaces. In a classroom setting, they ran a simulation in which an asymptomatic teacher talked for 50 minutes straight. It found that only 10% of aerosols were filtered out. Most of the particles remained on the walls. The researchers followed the airflow to find virus hotspots where the aerosols congregated in the room. They also found, for example, that the aerosol spread significantly less throughout the space when the teacher was placed directly under an air vent. They said the hope is that with the right combination of ventilation and interior design, it could decrease the spread of the virus and avoid these hot zones. By now, you have a face mask, or three, but is it time you upgrade to a face shield? Some doctors and teachers have suggested that plastic face shields could be a good substitute for masks, since they appear to offer protection while not hiding facial expressions. But other health experts are urging people to consider face shields as an additional piece of protection on top of a mask. In addition to offering a little extra protection from splashes of virus and keeping a mask a little cleaner in particularly germy places, face shields also offer some eye protection. The coronavirus pandemic could lead to hundreds of thousands of fewer births than expected in the United States next year, according to a report by the Brookings Institution. Researchers looked at studies of fertility during the 1918 flu pandemic and the 2007 recession and considered current factors such as physical distancing, job losses, and other economic uncertainties and anxieties. The U.S. fertility rate dropped 10% after the 1918 flu pandemic. Researchers at the March of Dimes analyzed similar data and found the same results. Dr. Raul Gupta is the chief medical and health officer for the March of Dimes, and he told CNN the economic and demographic implications that stem from a severe drop in pregnancies could have a tremendous impact on the next generation, which is why this is an important and very serious issue. With the pandemic resulting in social isolation and increased stress, it's more important than ever for those struggling with opioid use disorder to speak with a healthcare professional. An estimated 2 million people aged 12 or older have an opioid use disorder. Today we'll chat with Dr. Adam Rubenstein. He's specializing in the treatment of opioid use disorder and addiction, and he'll help provide some understanding about the diseases of addiction and how with the right treatment and support, people can stay in recovery. So, Dr. Rubenstein, how have you seen COVID-19 impact your patients suffering with opioids?
COVID-19 has had a major impact on my patients because they are struggling already with a chronic medical disease that actually can be deadly, and now they have one more barrier to overcome. Addiction, opioid use disorder specifically, is a very isolating condition, and it's one where people are already sometimes having difficulty seeking out the proper place for treatment for them, since treatment clearly needs to be customized. And also people really don't have the same fluency with the issues of opioid use disorder that they do even with COVID-19. So many of us know so much about COVID-19 and transmission and infections. And although opioid use disorder has been around for thousands of years, very few people who come to see me initially know that it's actually a chronic relapsing brain disease that we can see on brain scans.
And where can our audience find support during this time if they're struggling, especially if, you know, traditional roles of community and gathering were key to their recovery before?
Absolutely. So the first thing I would say about that is you're exactly right on target when you say this. The traditional, most effective, proven way to help patients who have opioid use disorder is a route that we call medication-assisted treatment that is actually supported by all the agencies of our government that are absolutely doing research and publishing on this. Medication-assisted treatment involves the patient and the provider working together to customize by choosing one of several options for medications. And it really is not one size fits all. You have to talk to your provider. And then we add on to that psychosocial support, which includes family and friends and others, and also counseling. So in this case, counseling could be done through telehealth, and patients are doing that. I think that one way patients can find providers in their area that we know are valid and know about the treatments that are evidence-based would be go to this website, which is rethinkopioidaddiction.com. That's rethinkopioidaddiction.com with no spaces. That site has links to several places that people can get valid information about substance use disorder, specifically about opioids, and also they can find a treatment locator. So they'll be able to find people in their area who can treat them appropriately and choose among those which ones make sense to them.
You know, I'm wondering, during this pandemic, with the focus being so much on COVID-19, that as a society, as a community, we're kind of forgetting about addiction and the opioid crisis and, you know, all of the other major public health crises that were happening before and still now with COVID-19. Do you see that kind of just impacting the way people talk about opioids right now?
Caitlin, that is just a perfect question. I'm so glad you asked that. So we've had an epidemic in this country now for well over a decade, and every year deaths from overdose from opioids has been rising. It's only recently being shown to maybe flatten out. And the fact is that we're losing our best and brightest, including young folks with the life ahead of them. And as we've done everything we can to stem the tide, it's been extremely difficult. Now that COVID comes along, the fact is that people are really not even thinking so much about these other folks who are struggling with opioid use disorder, because they're all focused on this issues of what are we going to do to keep ourselves safe and how are the hospitals doing, et cetera. So we can't lose sight of the fact that opioid use disorder is a deadly disease. We have almost 50,000 people every year who are dying from it. And we have 2.1 million people who are addicted or severely abusing opioids. And so with that, it's important that everyone understand that they are important too. Their lives matter too. Whether I die from an infection or from an overdose, both are equally tragic. And the one thing I would say that gives me hope is that opioid use disorder has treatments that are shown to work. And there are several of them, and there's physicians all around who can offer these treatments in the privacy of their office. So I feel like we have something deadly, but we can control it, get people into recovery. That's a long-term condition where they're actually striving to achieve new goals and setting courses to have dreams come true, where before they were in a vicious cycle of behaviors all around their drug of choice. Since we have those treatments available, I want to actually focus on the positive, on the fact that people who have this disease can actually go get help. And it isn't anything like what COVID is like right now, where we don't actually have a proven treatment.
Great. Wrapping up here, Dr. Rubenstein, any last words for listeners, you know, just how we can support people during all of these health crises happening right now?
Absolutely. So my suggestion is that, as I tell all the families of my patients who have substance use disorder for opioids, the most important thing is to stay connected, to support one another, to realize that stigma, bias, and misinformation are hugely powerful. Let's overcome that by not judging people. This is a brain disease we can see on scans. And so we want to reach out and say, how are you? How are you doing? How are things going? What are you struggling with? And if you notice someone, like your child, is actually changing in their behavior a little and you're wondering what's going on, ask them directly and tell them, you know, maybe we should get an evaluation, because if we help you now, then we'll head off a lot of pain and suffering later. So I say reach out. Talk, don't show any judgment at all, and just be very matter of fact, as if you're talking about strep throat. It just happens to be a different disease.
Find out more about Dr. Rubenstein's work at rethinkopioidaddiction.com. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or shoot us some feedback at COVID-19@radiomd.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.